Welcome to another episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, the weekly quizcast where two professional quizmasters talk about the nuts and bolts of writing and hosting pub trivia, as well as quizzing each other and our guest on favorite questions of the week. I'm one half of your hosting team, Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by fellow master of the quiz, Mark Davis!
Hello. How are you?
Hello. I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Hello.
It's No Nonsense Trivia. That's indeed the name around here. And we have another name, a third name to add to this mix today. We are joined by an old, near, and dear friend, our newest proverbial lightkeeper, Captain Nick Williams. Welcome, Nick.
Oh, hi, guys. Thanks.
Buying his way onto the podcast.
I feel like it's...
You go to Patreon. Hey, they'll take anybody.
There was a bit of a mutual ramping up here. I think I told you, like, we need to get Nick on at some point soon.
Yes.
Then I ran into Nick out and about. He was playing trivia, and he's, like, really been enjoying the podcast. Then I saw his name pop up on the Patreon. I was like, yes, he really is listening. That's great. This is proof right here. He wouldn't give us money if he wasn't listening. You're a nice
we're
guy.
Good friends.
You might just do that. But we appreciate that.
It's not a pity, you know.
Oh, thank you.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah. And you've been out doing some trivia lately. And
yeah. Yeah. Every time I play trivia, either if Mark's doing it or you're doing it, I feel like the stupidest person in the room, but I enjoy playing it.
Hey, that's me hosting the podcast. Let me tell you, you know, some of the answers that I come up with. I'm right there with you, buddy. When's the earliest that you remember playing trivia live in a setting? Does it predate Mark's Nice Guys trivia?
Yeah, it does, actually.
I know there was a time where we were going out sometimes to, like, Stevie Tomatoes, Sports Bar, doing trivia.
Wasn't there somebody who used to host karaoke nights that started doing trivia? They used to host at Indigo, and then they started doing trivia at Stevie Tomatoes. Well, wasn't it a girl? What was her
name?
Maybe.
Mad Mel?
Who knows?
Mad Mel was doing around here for a while.
Well, I just remember there's been a few of them. Yeah.
And we have a long history of playing games together. I remember in high school, Mark, you had us over for, like, a board game night. Me and Nick teamed up in a game of Pictionary. And somehow, three strokes of the pen, Nick guessed Darth Vader.
Oh, God.
And we were like, yeah!
That was an all-timer. Yeah.
Yes.
When it came down to Pictionary, me and Lee, or Lee and I, should say, were ultimate. No, nobody wanted us to play together because it was fist bump.
That's how Mike Cosin and I were, and are probably still, with Taboo.
Mm-hmm.
The two of us would just wreck human beings. If you know someone very intimately and how their mind works, I would just take everything and reference it to a song.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just, like, fly through stuff. People would get, like, 4 and we'd have, like, 11.
Or it's referencing to, like, also it helps, like, you know everything about that person, what they like. So if you put a little reference in there, and like, hey, and then you get that word out.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I think fans of trivia and board games kind of overlap.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But before we get to today's quiz, Nick, I know you brought a few questions to ask us.
Mm-hmm.
How about we go over our calendar, not our weekly wrap-up. We don't have our weekly wrap-up this week, but we're going to go over our calendar.
Oh, we got a calendar
right now. Yeah. If you want to join us for some trivia, you have a few opportunities to do so in the coming weeks. First, this Wednesday, we're live at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida, for No Nonsense Trivia Challenge based on your category requests. Join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. That's at Pointy Bell Brewing Company on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. On Thursdays, we're at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral for a weekly quiz based on your category requests. That's also at 7:30. We hope you can join us. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's Thursday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Of course, every week in Cape Coral, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom starting at 8 p.m.
This will be the week after the 7-year anniversary.
Right.
So I get to act. Woo! Oh, man, that was crazy. Holy shit.
The 7-year itch.
We'll have an official announcement on the winners on our next episode, probably.
Indeed.
Yeah. And wrestling fans, don't forget to mark your calendars for November 6th. Come hang out with us for Quizmania 2 at Ollie's Pub, when we'll be entering the world of the squared circle, asking trivia about the colorful and entertaining world of professional wrestling. It's Quizmania 2, the No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Pro Wrestling Edition, brother. November 6, 2021, at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral from 7 to 9 p.m. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit, and join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us,
won't you?
Not bad.
Yeah, you know.
Not bad.
I'm pumped about it. I'll tell you what I'm pretty more good. Pumped We're, about.
What?
The fucking McRib is back.
Oh, what? Oh,
yeah.
Did I you forgot. Just find I, out about this?
So you have not seen my live stream, apparently.
No, I have not.
If you have a Facebook, if you want to, you don't have to. If you want to add me so you can see my daily stream of eating a McRib every day until they
Mark
get rid of
it.
Mark with a C. Mark with a C. Mark Davis. C. You'll see me scouring around the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast Facebook group that we have told you about many times. I went to McDonald's to get a tea for the podcast.
Mm-hmm. See it, yes.
And
hashtag not an ad.
But hashtag an
love.
Ad.
Pure love
for the McRib.
Oh, seriously.
Because I walked up. I mean, walk up.
It's not sponsored.
You ran.
Right.
You didn't walk, you ran.
I drove up and I saw it's back, the McRib, and I was looking for a date, but there was no date, and so I said I have a code.
Era.
I gave him my code.
Era. I want a McRib.
And I said,
it's American.
I'm going to ask you a question, and how you answer may make me scream like a child. And I said, do you have the McRib? And they said, yes. And I went, oh my God! I freaked out.
They killed Kenny.
And I got two of them. I gave one of them to Skylar because I'm not a monster. Oh,
wow. He deserves it.
Yeah,
he does. Oh, absolutely.
So is this like a VIP thing? You have a little code. You give him a little like
no.
VIP
I so code? I you
by get request
points.
Only.
Oh, do they just hold it in the back? Like this is like for only VIP customers.
There's like a couple guys with
it's Uzis. Hush hush. The McVIP.
They have ones that are they have like dye packs in them.
So say, anybody takes
take one, you get blue all over your face. Yeah, so I got the McRib and I ate it and it was glorious. And I'm very, very pumped. I'm very pumped for it to be here again.
Good. I'm glad you don't have to go Ocean's 13 on it, you know.
Yeah, I am too. Thank you.
Happy for you, bud.
Thank you.
Expecting an invitation for one of these live
streams.
Are
you kidding me?
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. Yeah.
I'm it will, deadly serious. It will happen.
Okay.
We're gonna make August eat one.
No. I don't that maybe next August year.
First, too
solid soon. Food. Is there a limit how many you can take?
No.
Or buy, I should say.
No. Oh, absolutely not.
Oh, wow.
We made a triple decker last year.
Oh, yeah. We got creative with the last season. God.
Yeah.
Was it last year? It was last year.
It was
okay.
Last year.
This pandemic, man.
2020.
Right? We made messing the big,
sense
big
of time.
Mac rib.
Mm-hmm.
And we made a triple decker and we made something else with fro, right?
Yep.
If only you can make a McRib like they used to do those old Subway sandwiches that were like, what were they, 12 feet long or something?
Oh, my God.
Don't put ideas in this
man's head. Oh, man.
All right. Let's take a little break, and then we'll be back in round one with trivia with Captain Nick.
Hey-o!
Hi-yo! Hi-yo!
All right, we're back. Mark, would you like to ask our first question of today's quiz?
Sure. What baseball great, also known as the Iron Horse, was the first professional athlete to grace a Wheaties box in 1934?
Lee, I'm so bad with baseball.
Me too. The Iron Horse? With baseball. 1972?
Yes. Is that what he said?
Is it? You tell me. I'm asking you. I need the clarification.
1934.
I was going to say, that's whoa, where did those numbers come from? 34. Wow. When did... 34.
That is Babe Ruth's era.
I was going to say, isn't that Babe... Is like
but
Casey
he was
at
the
bat?
Babe.
When did the Casey at Bat come out?
Casey at Bat was... I don't even know Casey was a real person.
Can I tell you something about Casey at Bat?
Please.
That...
Going to Mudville?
It's been a while since I've read it, but that poem would make me cry anytime I would read it out loud. There's something about like the ending to it that is like, I don't know. It's so well written. It's really known for its last part, you mm-hmm. know, where they announce yeah. that he struck out or whatever, but all the stuff leading up to it. And like it, I guess it's because the way it's written builds it up as if like it sounds like death. It's like, talking about how in other places life is really good And I guess there's just something that, like, this probably says something more about me than it does about anything else, but like, kind of that, like, life goes on, and that even when you're in misery, like, there are other people and other things, like, that are good, which is probably also why when I'm sad, I like listening to sad music, because misery loves company. But it's like, there's something about that last little part that just, like, always, like, hit me. It was always really, really heavy to me.
Do you think the original writer, author, what do you call it?
Yeah, poet, writer.
Poet, mm-hmm. poet. Do you think that was their whole thing? Or they were just talking about baseball?
Probably. I mean, because the whole thing, and the thing is when you kind of take it into full context, it's like Casey was kind of a jerk off. Like,
yeah.
Are you guys familiar with it?
I mean, I haven't read that poem in 20 years.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is like about how, you know, their team was, you know, it was down to the last inning, and Casey was going to bat. Casey at bat, and he saunters up there, and they throw the first pitch, and he just, like, stands there and lets it fly by, and it's a strike, and he's like, not my style.
That cocky son of a bitch.
And then the second pitch goes by, and he's like, didn't look right. But then it's like he fucking, you know, gets his grip on his bat, and he's fucking get the sneer in his face, and everyone's like, fuck. And then the pitch goes, and then it just does the last stanza where it's like, somewhere in the land, the sun is shining bright, and somewhere, blah, blah, blah. Like, it goes through, like, I'm even getting emotional now thinking about it. It's so weird. But, like, it's like, yeah, they, like, don't tell you right off that he struck out. It's, you know, the whole thing is like, oh, you know, somewhere around here, things are good, but things are not good here because he struck out. The mighty Casey has struck out.
Tell us, line. Do you want to talk about it?
No, I mean, it's, you know, it's, I don't know what it is. It's really weird. I don't know if it's connected to something in my childhood or whatever, but it's,
do you remember how old you were with the first time that you read that poem?
No, I mean, I was probably in elementary school, I guess, but for whatever reason, something about that poem has always resonated with me.
I think it's all relative, really. I mean,
you
read something, it's just grabs you by the heart.
Yeah.
Anyways, baseball.
Yeah, I don't know. Casey was a real person is the only thing.
Yeah.
So there's Mickey Mantle, Ty Cobb. I don't know if that's too early for Ty Cobb.
I don't know. Again, I know nothing about baseball, but I would say that
Honus geez. Wagner.
What the? I've never even heard of that. Besides, like, the outdoor product.
You call
Wagner
him,
like, spring.
You call him the Iron Horse because you don't want to say the Iron Honus.
Oh,
I don't know. I'm sussing here.
Well, why would they call him the Iron Horse in the first place? Like, old baseball, I mean, mm-hmm. they used wood bats.
Yeah.
They used iron cleats.
Did they? Iron cleats? Holy shit.
Didn't they?
Maybe. Yeah. All I knew is
they had cleats.
Newfangled synthetic cleats.
Maybe he was fast. Maybe that's why the Iron Horse.
Babe already has a cool nickname.
Yeah.
Babe. You know.
Babe.
Go up to bat, Babe.
The great, home the run, great babe. Bambino.
Yeah, there you go. He's got two nicknames.
The Great Hambino.
the Sultan of SWAT.
Sandy Koufax.
God, I don't know. I really
that's later, I think. Like 60s I have, or something.
I don't even think if
Mickey Mantle had a nickname that was like the something meteor, the Millville meteor, I think. Maybe that's a more recent. Actually, I think that's a more recent player.
I bet you it's some guy that got a record in like runs, and maybe iron even stems from where, what team he was on. Like if they were like around the, like a steel factories or steel industrial, like, I don't know. Again, though, I know nothing of baseball, so I don't even know the teams back at that time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Honus Wagner is a baseball player. I can't even place what decade he played in, though. I feel like Mickey Mantle was probably early. That would be my best guess, even though I think he has a different nickname.
I agree, but
I mean, that's a big name, too. So who would be on a Wheaties box in the 30s?
That's true. Shit, I didn't even know Wheaties were around in the 30s.
Right, dang. Or that they were putting pictures of people
on
it.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
You think it would just say, like, Wheaties in black and white.
Right.
It's made of wheat.
The pitcher back then, what was it, the black powder pitchers or what?
I guess.
I don't know.
Didn't have Photoshop, that's
Mickey
for
Mantle,
sure.
Mickey Mantle, sure.
Mickey Mantle.
That's incorrect. Wrong. One name I don't think I heard you guys say. Lou Gehrig.
Oh, Lou Gehrig.
horse.
Ah, yes, the Lou Iron Gehrig. Lung.
Lou Gehrig, the Iron Lung.
No, that's my nickname.
All right. Oh, yeah, never mind.
No.
Oh, I can't even remember what the line is, but I was rewatching. Someone had never seen Old School, and so I was watching it, and he's like, "Do you still live around here?" When he's really drunk, and he's like meeting at the love interest for the first time, Luke Wilson's character, and he's like, "She's like, yeah, I moved to Colorado." He's like, "Colorado, the Sunshine State, Colorado, wow." And it always killed me that he calls Colorado decidedly unsunny. That
right.
He calls it the Sunshine State.
Florida's nickname.
Right.
All right. A fishing question for ye. Fishing.
Oh, okay.
Now, Nick, we don't call you captain because you're a team captain, Patreon supporter here on the podcast. We call you captain because you're a real life boat captain.
That is true. I have spent some time out on the open seas.
Mm-hmm. So you might know a thing or two about fishing.
Getting wet and soggy.
I'm gonna test your knowledge
chasing
here.
The tail.
Now, I mean, when you take people out onto a boat, most of the time they do want to go fishing, I'm assuming, right?
I used to do a lot of fishing charters, but now I haven't done it in a long time. In fact, I got an itch right now. I really want to go fishing again. But they just closed grouper season, red grouper, and they closed lane snapper, which were like two major catches you would get if you went offshore fishing. So it's not bad, though. There's plenty of other fish to fish for. But
well, if somebody was in Southwest Florida and they wanted to hire you, how could they get a hold of you?
Well, you can get a hold of me at my email, CaptainNickWilliams@gmail.com. Or you can call or text me, but I'm not giving that phone number out.
That's only my
mobile number. Message the podcast.
Instagram?
Yeah, you can. Instagram? Yeah. Oh, actually, I do have an Instagram. I have Captain Nick Williams.
Okay.
Instagram. So if you want to check out, I've recently left a lot of fishing. Like I said, I've got an itch I haven't done in a while, but right now I've been doing a lot of yacht stuff, a lot of private yacht stuff, a little more money, but it's also a lot more headache. So, but it's fun.
I'm going to test your scientific knowledge of a fish here. Oh,
please do. Please do. And I'll be embarrassed if I don't get it right.
Known for their shiny silvery scales, what is the common name for the fish of the genus Megalops?
So, first thing that comes to mind, you said large or bright shiny scales?
Shiny silvery scales.
Shiny silvery scales. So, first off, the scientific name is
Megalops.
Megalops. So, first thing that comes to my head is that telling me it's a big fish. The scales being silver shiny. Well, tarpon, our big fish, can range anywhere from as an adult 6 to 8 feet in length. And they look like dinosaurs. Their scales are huge. And they're known as the Silver King. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing that pops in my head.
Used to go tarpon fishing with Tim. Ex-guest.
Mm-hmm. Former guest. Ex-guest implies we won't be having him back,
I feel.
Yeah.
We used to go
invitee.
Oh, geez.
We used to fish with half ladyfish, and they would just get chomped.
Oh, yeah. Ladyfish are what we call the poor man's tarpon.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good, I'd say that's a good, and mega especially gives you, is it Megalops?
You got it.
My first blush was to say mullet, or not mullet, mackerel.
Yep, there's king mackerel. Because
mackerel are bright, yeah.
But they don't have big scales.
Did you say big scales?
Shiny silvery scales.
But see, here's the thing, though, is their scales, I almost don't call them scales. You know how like salmon, you can leave the skin on and cook it? That's almost how you can do with mackerel. In fact, I tell a lot of people when we catch it, just leave the skin on so it doesn't burn the meat. You just cook the meat. I mean, the skin side down.
Hmm. Well, I'm fine with going with tarpon.
I mean, unless you want to suss it out.
I don't know much about fish because I don't eat fish. So I feel like I'm very much out of my element.
He gave us a hint with the silvery scales and the scientific name. Would you not say kind of promotes that it's a big fish or they can get big?
I mean, mega definitely gives you the idea that it's big. Let's go with it. We're going to go with tarpon.
That's correct.
Hey.
Well done. Hire this man as your captain. He knows.
I would love to go fishing
stuff
with you sometime.
Yeah, well,
me too.
I haven't gone fishing in a
The last time I went out on a boat with Mark was actually to take him and his friend out.
Yes, we had a very, very good time.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yes.
I offered my services, which I tell a lot of my close friends. I say, listen, if you ever have family in town or whatever and you want to get out on a boat, give me enough heads up and I can probably make you be able to go out on a boat for very cheap for my close friends, you know. And obviously, we'll not
be doing
you
that
guys.
Soon. I'll be hitting you up soon. No, yeah.
It is
we'll pay full price, my friend.
Yeah.
Or at least I will. I'll talk. I won't talk
for it was a blast. We went out for my friend's birthday and she loves the water and it was like, you know what? Let's do it. And she was amazed. And you and Katie were both wonderful. It was a very good time.
I'm glad you remembered my wife's name. Oh, she's great.
Yeah. I like her more than I like you.
Oh, hey, understandable. Completely understandable.
Nick, give us a damn question. Sorry. Oh, yeah, so you weren't ready.
Sorry, I was already...
He was just enjoying himself.
I was enjoying this beer that...
I like that koozie you got. There's all sorts of fish on your koozie.
Yeah, there. Actually, that's a tried and true Cape Coral, Florida koozie from one of the many Walgreens here.
Yes, perfect.
And it's got actually different groupers on it.
Anyways. I love that you appreciate the tourist stuff, the stuff that's meant to be sold from, you know, to people that are, you know, from out of town.
Oh, yeah.
But you wear it with pride.
Well, in fact, what I'm wearing right now, I was trying to go for an obnoxious, like, fishing Florida golfer.
I like it. I like that shirt a lot.
Let's see.
You guys are kind of matching right now.
Oh, we are.
You're my match. Okay. Let's see.
Turquoise tops. Okay,
here we go. Here we go. All right. This one, you guys, I figured, you know, I picked this question out because both of you have been in bands. You deal with a lot of sound engineering. So here's this question. A form of audio signal processing for reducing the background hissing sound on audio tape recordings was first used in the movie A Clockwork Orange. What was the name of this noise reduction system?
Well, first, Mark, might I just say, wonderful to be sussing with you again.
Mm.
It's been a while.
It has been.
Since we've been able to suss together.
Yes. A month or more.
Yeah, in real time. We did have some banked episodes, so it seemed like we were sussing, but this whole time we've not been sussing in person. What was the name of this noise reduction technique used in A Clockwork Orange?
For the first time.
It's the first time in Clockwork Orange. I also have a hint with all my questions, so if you need it.
Wow. Well, we don't like that usually.
No, I know you don't like it, but it's
kind of
it's there. It's like a safety word in case you need to.
I don't use safety words.
Not when it comes to trivia.
Break my
fucking
bones.
I'm in. This is interesting. I did not know Clockwork Orange had this kind of technical feat.
I feel like I know this.
You're a big fan of this movie.
I am. Might be my favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely up there. Top
three. When we were having our board game nights, playing Pictionary, look up in Mark's room.
There it is.
Big Clockwork Orange poster. I had never even seen the movie until after I saw the poster. I had to ask you, like, what is that?
What's this thing?
Clockwork Orange. Cool name.
I think I had a very similar experience, too.
Cool.
I was like, what is this? That picture of that guy up there with a bowler hat, what's that?
Mark, our early childhood culture guru.
I was everybody's older brother.
Yeah, you were the Sherpa.
Mm-hmm.
Can I hear that question one more time?
Yes, absolutely. A form of audio signal processing for reducing the background hissing sound on audio tape recordings was first used in the movie A Clockwork Orange. What was the name of this noise reduction system?
He wants to give this hint so bad.
No,
just to put it out there for our listeners, I think I can speak for both of us when I say, generally, we appreciate the hint being built into the question originally.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we can take it all in at once.
Well, I figured there, so, I gave a lot of hint.
Yeah, you
already,
did. You did so. Nothing. I'm not reading the question. Right,
judging
now.
My question.
I'm just saying we generally don't like to resus because, you know, once the second hint comes in, then we have to go, oh, now we got to consider.
Well, that's
this
why I wanted to be on this podcast, because I love your sussing techniques. And sometimes you guys just, like a blind person, just fall into a mud of it and you just somehow come out with the answer. I don't know how you do it, but it's hilarious.
It's beautiful.
High
pass filter, that's not a noise reduction technique though. Denoiser,
it's something like Dolby, you know what I mean? It's like something like that,
Technicolor, like that kind of thing. It's got
I think
a trademark name.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's like,
is it Kubrick related, the term? Could it be related to the title?
I don't think so.
Oranging. De-oranging.
Clock working.
Clock not working. Clock broken.
Left hand.
Cha-cha now, y'all.
No. No.
I don't know, man. This is a tough one. It's interesting. You
brought the heat.
Yeah. Listen, I have easier ones, but I just question because you're both.
No, it's good, and I know you're going to say it, and there's a very high... Sometimes I can tell. I'll be like, I'm not going to know this, and I don't. And then sometimes I can tell, I'm like, I'm going to know this, and I do, and it makes me very mad when I think I know it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I know it.
Well, Mark, you brought up old school earlier, right? Earmuffs, Mark. Earmuffs right now. Can I get the hint? Can I get that hint?
You gonna not listen?
Sure, give a hint.
Oh, boy. Wow. Look at... Love seeing the different personalities right now, like, face-to-face. Like, Mark is just disdain.
Me and I are... very similar, but very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know. All right. Here we go. Earmuffs.
You cut yourself off.
Yep.
Like,
nope.
It's kind of like, never mind. All right.
Yeah. Let's get it. This, I feel like this is going to give it away for sure. All right. The hint is an upgraded version with surround sound would first be used in the movie Batman Returns.
Updated version with surround sound.
It's Dolby, right?
I guess that would be my guess. I thought Dolby predated A Clockwork Orange, but let's go with it.
We're going to say Dolby.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah!
Yes, it is Dolby.
How funny that I said Dolby in the fucking beginning. Yep.
AKA now, actually, the Dolby Digital is like a short version of what basically they call the surround sound version.
Mm.
I don't know if you want to actually... Am I supposed to read a little bit about it?
You can. You can. Yeah, well, give us some extra context.
All right. Well, anyways, you have Ray Dolby, born in 1933.
Yeah, we've talked about him actually before. Thomas Dolby, the keyboard pop artist, named himself after Ray Dolby, his stage name. And Ray Dolby returned the favor by naming his child Thomas.
Oh, I had no idea about that. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
He invented the Dolby Noise Reduction System, a form of audio signal processing for reducing background hissing sound. Turns out his first U.S. patent on the technology was filed in 1969. 4 years later, the method was first used by Decca Records in the U.K.
Mm.
But he would move his company headquarters to the United States in 1976, and the first product Dolby Labs produced was the Dolby 301 unit, which incorporated a Type A Dolby noise reduction. Long story short, basically the first Dolby sound was used professionally, I should say commercially, it was in Clockwork Orange.
Huh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. It was that was in 1971, the Clockwork
accolade
Orange.
Accolade to that movie.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Good question.
Good question.
Good.
Very good.
Fantastic.
All right. Here's your next question from me.
Great.
Another baseball question.
And please don't be another baseball
What is the name for the psychological condition in which someone believes that a friend, spouse, parent, or other close family member or pet was replaced with an imposter?
Oh, I feel like I've heard this before.
Well, this is not imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is like a sense of a lack of confidence that you have that you can handle a professional capacity.
No, if anything, this is something that happens with a lot of dementia patients. Sadly.
Yeah, well, I don't know that this is, I mean, I get what you're saying in a sense, but I think this is specifically like individual being replaced with an imposter. Not like, I mean, dementia might come with it like misremembering people's names, confusing people for each other.
Yeah.
This is like, it sounds pretty specific.
Now, here's the question though, is it a fear? What?
It's a psychological condition.
Mm-hmm. So the word imposter makes me think of like they're out to get you, or is it just someone who's trying to be your friend or family member or dog?
I think it's like a doppelganger, like doppelganger syndrome or something.
Can you imagine looking down at your dog and be like, that's not my fucking dog. That's a cat.
Yeah.
That's what like, this is. Yeah. Or like walking in here and being like, that's not Lee.
Mm-hmm.
What?
That's like something someone who's like
pretending to be Lee.
Like a lot of people thought with like Paul McCartney,
mm-hmm.
where there was like the giant thing that Paul McCartney, the real Paul McCartney, died in a car crash and he was replaced with a.
Right.
With imposter.
Life model decoy is what it's called in the Marvel universe. Tony Stark has them.
Among Us.
Haven't played it.
No, I haven't either.
Popular game, though.
All right, so
a doppelganger is when you see an evil version of yourself.
No, a doppelganger is just the opposite of, or someone similar, like a twin of like someone you know or yourself.
Maybe it could be applied to other people.
Because doppelganger is just two similarities, basically, right? Like it's just two of the same.
I thought it was like a like an inverted version.
It's a medical disorder where you have two wolves inside yourself.
Yeah.
And whichever one you feed is the one that takes over.
Jeez. No more holes.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, that could be wrong. Well, maybe there's no, you know, connotation.
Psychological to it. Condition where mm-hmm. you literally think
Swapper syndrome.
Yes.
Something like that. What's you another, swapped them.
What's another, where's the thesaurus? What's another word for
I will tell you, it is named after the doctor who first discovered it.
Oh, so it's a freaking name. God.
It's not Bernard Meinhof.
No.
It's
Andrew not, Bernard Meinhof.
Andrew, I haven't seen him in forever. Let's see.
Freud. Is a psychoanalyst.
Right.
Jung. I don't think either of them have.
I don't feel like these I was going to say. Though. I don't think either of anybody like along that lines of like the psychological field. This is going to be someone who's like a. We'll know the name when he says it, probably, but like it'll be somebody who's specifically probably just studied just that.
Yeah, like they covered the basics, and you got to wait a couple generations to get the more specific diagnoses down.
Yeah. Basically, they ran away with the mm-hmm. with this, and they, you know, they just walked off the backs of everybody else. They just like, so this.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to criticize. I don't know anything about their studies.
No, you know, let's criticize them. Let's. I don't know. I don't know enough about this subject. I wish I did. I'm also horrible with names.
I can't.
Rude Goldberg.
No, he was a cartoonist. let's just go with the Young's disorder.
Yeah, Young's.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
All right.
Big surprise. We're killing it.
So far, so good.
At least we're not eating spicy beans this time.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm done with that.
Go listen to the last episode if you're curious about that.
Capgras syndrome.
Oh, what?
Capgras?
Capgras syndrome.
Capgras. Huh. Would never have guessed that.
Interesting.
Capgras. Who is Capgras?
He is some scientist or some doctor.
Okay.
Who was mm-hmm. one of the. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Go on.
Go.
Mm-hmm. His last name is actually spelled C A P G R A S, also known as Capgras delusion, a psychiatric disorder. He was French, Joseph Capgras. A class of delusional beliefs that involves the misidentification of people, places, or objects. It can occur in acute, transient, or chronic forms. Cases in which patients hold the belief that time has been warped or substituted have also been reported. Commonly occurs in individuals diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia.
I was just
surprised there.
Gonna ask that honestly.
But has also been seen in brain injury, dementia, and other types of different kinds of dementia.
Ding ding ding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty nuts.
Yeah, that's wild.
This is the following two case reports are examples. Mrs. D, a 74-year-old married housewife, recently discharged from a local hospital after her first psychiatric admission, presented to our facility for a second opinion. At the time of her admission earlier in the year, she had received the diagnosis of atypical psychosis because of her belief that her husband had been replaced by another unrelated man. She refused to sleep with the imposter, locked her bedroom and door at night, asked her son for a gun, and finally fought with the police when attempts were made to hospitalize her.
Man.
At times, she believed her husband was her long-deceased father. She easily recognized other family members and would misidentify her husband only.
Man, D's nuts.
That sounds like an episode of The Twilight Zone. I feel like there might have even been an episode like that where a person, like, you know, wasn't recognized in their own life. Maybe that's like a inverted version of that, but
yeah, wow. It's
terrifying.
It's yeah, absolutely.
Good question.
Thanks.
I just knew nothing about it.
But on a lighter note, a question about dogs.
Aww,
yeah, little puppers. Hmm. Which small breed of dog in AKC's non-sporting group is sometimes known as the American Gentleman? Which small breed of dog in AKC's non-sporting group is sometimes known as the American Gentleman?
All right, well, non-sporting, let's take away the Jack Russell. Mm-hmm. Let's take away Corgi? Because it wasn't Corgi initially made for, like, going down in rabbit holes or something?
I am so fucking bad at dog stuff, dude. You're basically on an island. All I can say is it's not a Chihuahua because they're from Mexico.
Oh,
I mean, I guess it's still the Americas.
Well, it's not a sporting. I don't think were Chihuahuas ever a sporting dog anyways to begin with?
I don't think so. You said not a sporting dog,
right? Yeah, it's not a sporting, but I'm trying to go through, like, what's left.
You freaks can go ahead and miscorrect me if you want, but I remember always hearing this story about how Chihuahuas used to be huge, and they used to guard diamond mines in Mexico, so they would inbreed them. So they would have enough dogs.
Wow.
And because of all the inbreeding, they turned into the puppies they are today. The little pups.
Big old heads.
They big, just kept big attitudes. Going, even when they weren't so weird looking.
Honey, I shrunk the perros.
See.
All right. I'm going to say
perrositos.
What's a very popular breed right now. Maybe this is why he brought it up. Very popular breed is French bulldogs. Those seem to be everywhere. Everybody's got a freaking French bulldog. They have that big old head.
Now, do you think body. The American Gentleman is a French bulldog?
Well, here's what I'm... Well, no, but I don't know. But see, that's the thing, though, is like... You know how the Americans perceive any other country? It's like they always think they're very, like, you know, up to do. Like, very... I don't know.
Uppity.
Uppity. So,
I mean, maybe the American bulldog...
American Bulldog, but this is a small breed. American Bulldogs are larger. Well, unless you could talk about the English Bulldog, but that's not exactly a gentleman looking kind of dog. That looks like something that just like wallered out of a dumpster heap.
What about a pug?
Oh, yeah, actually, that's.
I don't know what's gentlemanly about them.
No, I was going to say they just hideous. Breathe heavily and they freaking can't take the deep. We literally. Yeah. Oh God.
They it's all like, look like fucking sloth from the Cooties.
Oh my God.
Eyes all funky.
Oh, they look like they have like a lizard. Their eyes and are like on the side of eating. Their head. Like
no.
No, that's them just hanging out.
Yeah, that's just they're that's not just eating. Them.
Right. Yeah, that's them just. Like
no, that's sitting. Them surviving. They're just trying to live.
If I breathe three times real quick, it's as good as one real breath.
French.
Poodles, yeah, like maybe like a mini poodle. Like a mini poodle. Oh, what about like a mini pincher? Mini pin? Min pin? Is that a thing?
I don't know. Doberman pincher?
Min pin?
Those are big. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it would be the miniature version of something.
I don't know. What's a small breed? You have min pin. You have
American Gentleman? Or
yes, the American Gentleman is their nickname.
What if it is, man, you know, Mexico is in the Americas. What if it's kind of throwing
it's in North America
so and it's a Chihuahua?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but that'd be a hell of a freaking curveball.
Not much of a gentleman either.
No, they're dickheads. No offense to any Chihuahua owners out there. But
I thought you were going to say no offense to any Chihuahuas.
No offense to any Chihuahuas.
Well, there goes our Chihuahua listenership. Jesus, Nick.
Oh, boy. Wow. We just dropped in the AKC.
He's having a stroke over there. We're gonna lose all the Chihuahuas.
Yo quiero nosotros dignity.
Yeah, nailed it.
That was. I think nosotros is not even the right word to use there.
Nosotros means I really don't feel like I thought it meant. I don't feel like it would be a Chihuahua. There's no way. I really don't think it's a Chihuahua.
All right, that's fine. I know it's a little bit of a toss.
Let's keep sussing.
I am going to need you guys to come up with an answer here.
There's the Shih Tzu, but that's no. But that's a breed that they go to competition with, right? Or no, you say no sporting?
Non-sporting.
Non-sporting. Well, they certainly don't sport with Shih Tzu.
But Shih Tzu sounds decidedly Asian, does it not?
Well, yeah. It wouldn't be an American gentleman. God, I don't know.
Let's go with Pug.
Pug? I keep wanting to say French Bulldog in my head, but I'll go with Pug. Just because they're so goofy looking.
Yeah, we're going to say the Pug.
Yeah, Americans are goofy anyways.
Wrong. No, I'm sorry. The Boston Terrier is a Boston lively mother. Little companion recognized by his tight tuxedo jacket, sporty but compact body, and the friendly glow in his big round eyes. His impeccable manners have earned him the nickname the American Gentleman.
Freaking Boston.
That's from AKC's website. Boston.
Fucking name. Yep. Fucking name. Fucking Boston.
God damn it.
All right, man. Nick.
All right. Oh, here.
This is our last question, sorry. Round one.
I'm just so distraught about Boston.
I'm feeling so distraught.
So distraught. You want to do the chihuahua. all right, here we go. Should I give you an easy one? Screw it. I'm just going to give this next question. In 1900, inventor would name this space-saving piece of furniture after himself. Several other companies were producing similar furniture, but in 1912 and in 1916, he had patents on pivot and counterbalance designs. What's the name of this piece of furniture?
You got an idea?
Yeah.
Me too.
Let's say it on three.
Are we doing 1, 2, 3, then say it, or 1, 2, and then say it?
1, 2, 3, then say it.
1, 2, 3.
Murphy bed.
Is that the final answer?
No.
1, 2, 3.
Well, hold on.
Yes.
Do you think so? I mean.
Is his name Dumb Waiter? I mean, come on.
It could be a futon.
Oh. Albert Futon. Space-saving inventor, Albert Futon.
I am sitting on the couch with a woman. She says, where's your bed? I say, you're not going to believe this.
You are sitting on it. I lean
back, it turns into a bed. Albert Futon. Albert
Futon.
So futon?
I'd rather go with Murphy bed.
Well, pivot and counterbalance?
Sure.
I mean, that could go for either, I guess. I mean, Murphy bed is definitely both of our first guess.
I mean, this hint is just like, it's pulling us there. Space saving. Your brain went there. My brain went there.
We're going to say Murphy bed.
That is correct.
Yeah.
We almost double beat ourselves again.
Well, I wanted to double check. Right. You know, I always like to think about it first. Mm-hmm.
The bed is named after William Lawrence Murphy. An Irish immigrant in New York who wanted to find a creative method of making space in his small apartment. And here's the best part I thought was really interesting. According to legend, he was wooing an opera singer, but living in a one-room apartment in San Francisco, and the moral code of the time frowned upon a woman entering a man's bedroom. Murphy's invention converted this bedroom into a parlor, enabling him to entertain.
What a slick
motherfucker. A genius.
Oh, no, baby, this ain't my bedroom. Swap.
This is a parlor.
Hold on, I got to go inside real quick before you enter. I just got to get things ready.
Wow.
I remember my dude, Charles in Charge, having a Murphy bed. Remember like that shit?
Birds of a feather.
So
big pimping.
They still make those today.
Oh, like, yeah, I've seen them. I've actually thought about getting one because it just seems, but I don't know if they make them comfortable.
Well, here's the thing is, you remember I'd mentioned the other companies that made them, like Sears and Roebuck and company, they would make those, but they didn't have the similar designs to help ease it up onto the wall and make it easier to bring down. That's why it said
use like a crank or something. Right.
You got to like get a couple of hamsters running.
Get a license to operate it.
How much does a Murphy bed run you these days? Do you know?
Yeah, like a couple you
know
grand. What?
I don't even know. I didn't even look that
up. There's a Murphy bed showroom right around the corner from here, actually.
Mm. No, there is.
Yes, there is. It's a big sign. I've always noticed that, like.
Where is that at?
It's up by across from Lowe's on Gladiolus.
Oh.
Like over on 41 and Globulus. Yeah.
You're interested.
That's the place to go if you've got questions about how they operate.
Hello, ladies.
this is us in 2 months. No Nonsense Trivia Podcast brought to you by Murphy Beds. Yes. Do you want to bring an opera singer into your parlor and woo her with a bed that folds down?
Or have enough space to invite your friends over for a podcast?
Yes.
You got Murphy Bed.
Call 1-800-MURPHY.
Here's something that's interesting. Apparently, they saw a resurgence in popularity in the early 2010s due to weak economy.
Okay. Okay.
So the small house movement, maybe?
Yeah. That kind of thing? Well, it's probably no. You couldn't afford an apartment bigger than one, like an efficiency or something. Oh, so you
just put a Murphy in this thing.
Yeah. Or an inefficiency. Am I right?
All
right.
Oh, you're on it.
All right. Let's take a quick break. And we're going to come back with some
miscorrections.
No nonsense brand miscorrections. Some and a second round of delicious trivia.
All right, we're back, and it's time for some missed corrections.
Miscorrection.
All right, and we do have, we got a couple miscorrections here. We're going to read this note from Rob Milford. This first point was also made by Adam on our Discord. Rob writes, "Hey guys, dig the podcast, but I have a couple of miscorrections. Okay, first of all, I think, although it's spelled Samhain, it's pronounced Sawen, or something along those lines."
Yes.
Which I think that's similar to something that Adam said, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So Samhain sounds like a cool name for like a guy, though. I'm Samhain.
Well, there's a band that everyone calls.
Start the Halloween movement.
I'm Samhain.
I'm Samhain.
I've come here to kick ass and rape futons. And I'm all out of futons.
Futon is also Japanese, by the way, not French.
Oh, okay.
We were dead wrong on that. A complete futon set consists of a mattress and a duvet. It is a Japanese style of bedding, a traditional style of bedding.
I can't stand duvets.
That's good to know. They're all right. I mean, I was into mine, but the other day I grabbed my duvet, my comforter, my blankie. And I grabbed the hole where you're supposed to, button up, and I, ripped it. Oh, and a typical comforter, that thing is sealed up with a stitch.
Yeah, no.
I'm not grabbing the inside.
That's another reason why I don't like duvets, buttons.
Yeah. Anyways, Rob continues, and second of all, Eggers didn't do Midsommar. That was Ari Aster, the same guy who did Hereditary. Eggers just did The Vavitch and The Lighthouse.
Yeah, I had my shit fucked up.
Yep. So, just a couple of miscorrections there, and if you'd like to write us with a miscorrection, a rate my question, or even just a little no-note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, or call us at 1-929-356-6966, or find us on social media.
Futon also, you'll redirect to Futon if you put in sofa cum bed.
Sofa cum bed, like it's sofa a sofa cum bed, like it's changed its profession.
Sure,
something like later that, in life.
When was it?
How is cum spelled in that? By the way,
C-U-M.
Oh wow. Oh.
Well, because that's how they spell it when you're
all right.
You know,
magna.
But
cum laude.
I also like to think exactly. But I also like to think that
I am
any
sofa
bed
king.
Can be a sofa cum bed if you try hard enough.
Sofa king knows all.
All right, Lee.
Yeah.
I'm gonna kick off this first round here with a question about team sports.
Oh.
Team
sports. Yay, team sports.
Water polo was developed in Scotland and the UK as a water version of what popular sport?
Well, there's regular polo. It can't be that simple.
I was gonna say tricky.
Yeah. No, well
Can I hear it one more time?
You may. Water polo was developed in Scotland and the UK as a water version of what popular sport?
Soccer?
That's what I was thinking, because
football?
But now it's handball.
Well, because you can't kick it in the water.
Well, that would be more impressive game, honestly. Just
watch that. People fucking
Pele kicks out of the water. Right.
Yeah. It's got to be, right? I mean, because they do the same thing with their hands as you do with feet in soccer. It's to go into a goal. You have a goalie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about water polo, but I know that it is definitely soccer-esque.
Yeah, I like that answer, though. I like that.
Because, you know, polo, like you said, sounds pretty obvious.
But yeah, obvious. But you got to use sticks. Yeah. And you're on a horse. Mm-hmm. Imagine if they were on seahorses.
Polo, one of the only... only
deleted scene from Aquaman. Yeah.
Very old question I asked, we asked on the podcast, I think, was... One of the only sports where it's illegal to play left-handed.
Oh, really?
You have to play right-handed.
Even no matter what. Mm. Interesting. You got to play with
it's your for personal safety. No, I don't know.
I was making that up. Yeah, let's go with soccer.
I like that.
We're gonna say soccer.
Yeah, I like soccer.
Fuck. Oh. The answer is rugby.
You know, fucking I was kind of wondering if it was rugby.
We didn't suss that long enough.
No.
Well, I mean, you know.
See, I like soccer because soccer worldwide, especially in the UK, is a huge thing. But nobody thinks about rugby. But I mean, but also with water polo, they're not tackling each other.
Well, that was what I was thinking. Right? Yeah, I mean, like scrums and stuff. I don't know if they can do all that or if they do all that.
Well, and they have certain, like, fouls where, like, if you try to like dunk someone underneath the water, don't they? That's interesting.
I don't know, man. Take it up with the water polo. All right, folks.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, that's just the history there.
What martial art is known as the science of the eight limbs?
Your four limbs and their four limbs? Or octopus style? What are we doing here?
Or arachnid?
Yeah. How do spiders fight each other? Yeah. What martial art are they using?
Yeah, Jesus. We're on all fours, baby.
All eights.
All eights. We're on all eight. Well, if you're talking about what you're talking, is it their four?
You better
have
four? Yeah.
Those yeah. Fours? A martial art.
The art of the eights? The eight limbs? Cool name.
Yeah, art of the eight limbs. Very interesting.
What are some martial arts that use?
I mean, everybody knows the Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I mean, that's all about holds and stuff, right?
There's yeah, that's all about holds.
So you're going to be using all four limbs.
Yeah. You're using all four limbs for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's
maybe it's just jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu. Just
all right. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for making fun of my.
He did it.
I didn't. I stutter. I'm sorry.
Whoa! Don't do that. No! No!
All right.
That had a Coors sound to it.
Coors. Sponsored by Coors Light.
Jiu-jitsu. I mean,
but there's hold on now. It's not kung fu.
Nope.
Because that's about striking, right?
Mm-hmm. It's not judo, which not is about judo, throws.
Throws. But you're using your legs to throw. With balance, maybe?
I just feel like with jiu-jitsu, you're like all up in that shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Locking limbs.
Yeah.
You know? You got your...
Can we name any other martial arts?
Tai Chi is not a martial... Isn't a
what
martial
is,
art?
I don't know. What is...
Tai Chi. It's like energy fighting.
Oh.
Slow motion energy fighting.
So is that the things I see, like, the middle-aged women doing in, like, the park?
Maybe.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Practicing I mean I want to say jiu-jitsu.
What's the dance fighting?
Oh yeah, what was that? Capoeira or
capybara is a
no
type of, it's something like capoeira.
Is it
capoeira?
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 Kookaburra?
Cucamonga?
Old Kookaburra sitting in the old gum tree.
Remember that from that podcast?
Yeah. Jiu-jitsu. That's the one I feel.
That's the only one that makes sense because you're using all four limbs for sure.
Mm-hmm. And Brazilian jiu-jitsu is a derivative, right?
Yeah, it's all the same. I mean, it's just different techniques.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm an expert, but.
Ground and pound. We're talking about jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu.
We're talking today about jiu-jitsu. That's what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's incorrect. Capybara is the largest rodent in
that's what I thought.
In the world. You're thinking of capoeira.
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 Where? There.
I think it's really big in Brazil. Is that right?
Brazil.
Capoeira?
I think so, but also jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
But the correct answer... Hold on, I'm going to find out where capoeira is.
He's just making this up.
Or no. It's Brazilian martial arts. The correct answer is Muay Thai.
Muay Thai.
Oh.
Yes. See, we missed one.
Right. That's Muay the one where you...
Now, you see there? We missed one there.
We missed you kick one. Your shins on the tree, right? Yeah. To strengthen them. Isn't that
what
Muay Thai?
I don't know.
When you're training, you like kick the tree with your shins.
Well, they do a lot of like kicking.
So you break the bones and they calcify and get. Is that what's going on there?
Well, I'm not sure what's happening inside. But I believe
they had a professional Muay Thai. Muay Thai.
Muay Thai.
Muay Thai.
Anyways, I think they had a professional.
Today's the episode of Weird Voices.
I think they had a professional on Jackass. Actually, the female. Champion or something like Kick
on the show.
Yeah, okay. On the show, I think Kick
Steve-O with the nuts or something.
Probably. But
it had to be Steve.
Yeah, but I could have.
Who else would they have do that?
Yeah.
I guess Johnny Knoxville.
All right, I'll bring up my
capoeira, capybara,
capybara. I was like, is this happening right now? Are they going to get some fucking rodent? This is a unmatched.
You know we're not above it. Don't act like we're above it
or below it. All right. So as of 2020, what state has the most billionaires per capita?
Most what?
Billionaires with a B. Billionaires
per capita. Well, I'm going to tell you my first thought just right off.
Mm-hmm.
Delaware.
Okay.
Because they got a tax thing, yeah. That's why a lot of places are there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See? Yeah.
And it's also probably not super populated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if those tax things would work out for billionaires as well, but I'm kind of guessing they might.
I'm thinking somewhere close by. I was thinking Connecticut. Which is like where people that get too rich for New York go.
Fair enough. Yeah. New York is way too populated.
Yeah. You don't want to be around all those people. Go down to Connecticut.
Right on the beach.
Boy. Oh, yes. I do remember that accent in Connecticut.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, Delaware is pretty small. I don't know much about Delaware. My Connecticut thing is because Vince McMahon is there, you know.
Jesus Christ.
As well as his
you
wife,
really
Linda.
You really need to stop fucking watching.
No, I'm telling you, it's going to be Connecticut based on this.
I mean, it might be. All of those places where there are a bunch of rich people would not surprise me.
California and Florida have too much people, right?
Too much people. Yeah.
Too much people.
Massachusetts would be a good guess if there wasn't much people, but there might be too much people in Massachusetts as well.
Same.
That's so, I mean, Maine, there's too many poor people. Connecticut is a good guess. Rhode Island?
I mean, very small state. The smallest of states probably relates to the population, but... Are there billionaires? We're talking about billionaires.
If you want to go with Connecticut over...
I feel like Rhode Island's like there's only room for one billionaire here. Get out of town.
You want to go with Delaware or you want to go with Connecticut over Delaware? I mean, my guess is completely predicated on this tax loophole thing that they have.
But those are like corporations that are usually registered there, right. Not necessarily the people that live there.
Right.
So Elon Musk might have some LLC set up in Delaware for the tax benefits that everything's being routed through, but he doesn't actually live there.
He goes, you must be kidding me.
This is crazy. I mean, you almost didn't nail the landing on that, but it still hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bezos, Musk, Gates, do they all live in California?
I mean, well, there's also wherever they like have their permanent residency, and
I was going to say, let's be honest, billionaire is going to have several homes,
right?
Billionaire is going to billion.
But I mean, that's three that I can think of off the top of my head, and I'm just wondering where they're usually located. I know Elon Musk usually doesn't leave his.
This is kind of where I'm going with
manufacturing warehouse or something like that.
Well, that's the thing about like places like Florida where there's no state tax or whatever. There's no like, you know. There's some other place where they have property taxes or like whatever kind of like specific kinds of taxes where Florida doesn't have them. You know what I mean? If it wasn't for Florida being so highly populous, like
there's also just so much industry in California, you know, like that's where all of Silicon Valley is. That's where a large portion of the entertainment industry resides.
But see, again, they may have their permanent residency somewhere else to evade tax shit and then just live there year round or whatever.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying.
Could be Connecticut.
Do you want?
No.
Earmuffs. Give me that.
Shut up. No.
No.
Let's just go with Connecticut.
You're not going to get it.
All right. Connecticut.
Oh, we're going to say Connecticut. Okay. Good.
Wrong. The hint was going to be that the state motto is equal rights. Does that help out at any at all?
No.
The answer is Wyoming.
What? How did you pull that out, Mark? What the hell?
I don't know. Well, because I just thought, what's his name? Buffett. Warren Buffett's from Wyoming, I think, right?
Oh.
Is he? Sure. Maybe not. Omaha, maybe.
Yeah.
Nebraska. I don't know.
So he's like the Gretzky of billionaires.
I immediately started thinking, think of a state that has no people in it.
Right.
Because if there's like two billionaires there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Compared to like fucking Florida.
Well, in fact, it has six billionaires in Wyoming. And now, as you properly sussed it out, large states are naturally dominant. Six of the 10 most populous states are also top 10 billionaire locales. But Wyoming, with six billionaires and a national low of 579,000 residents, sports the most billionaires per capita. One billionaire in every 96,460 Wyomingites is a billionaire.
Mm.
Wow.
Now you know.
So you got good chances if you move there. Basically, compared to your brethren. Yeah,
better chances of seeing a billionaire.
All right.
Damn.
Medieval weapons. My next category.
All right.
For y'all. Medieval weapons. What is the name of the two-handed medieval weapon that consists of an axe blade topped with a spike mounted on a long shaft, as well as a hook on the back for grappling mounted combatants?
For her pleasure.
What is the name of the two-handed medieval weapon that consists of an axe blade topped with a spike mounted on a long shaft, as well as a hook on the back for grappling mounted combatants? So this thing, you use it to pull a combatant off a horse.
I have the visual.
And then spike them.
Spike them.
Or axe them.
Or axe them.
You have options.
You better ask somebody.
You know what? This is going to sound so nerdy, but I instantly went to the D&D handbook where they have like all the pictures of the different weapons. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remember what because I remember seeing something like that.
I hope you have better luck than me, my friend. Because holy shit, I don't know this.
Is it like a spire?
Something? Sure.
No, that can't be right.
Sure.
Come on, Mark, give me some.
Sure, yeah.
Help me out here.
I honestly have no fucking clue.
It slices, it dices, it
it's an immersion blender.
It's a blender, but on the outside.
A spire? Maybe.
Axe. Wait, you said spike at the end? And then on the
a spike on top. Spike axe on the front, spike on top, hook in the back.
Business
on
a long in the front.
A party in the back.
Hooker in the rear.
It's a veritable mullet of medieval weapons.
But it's long and it needs two hands.
Party in the front, poker in the rear. Just combine the two.
Oh boy. I honestly can't come up with much other than like Spire or axe stabby thingy.
We're gonna say Spire.
No, I'm sorry. This is probably gonna be one that you recognize when I say it. It's called a halberd.
That does not really tickle my brain.
I think you can get that in D&D. I think you can buy one at an inn or a shop, an adventurer shop.
Only the best though. You got to go to those small local shops, you know, that are independent. You don't want to go any of those big name.
Right. Shops, exactly. Yeah.
This is one that you guys might know.
Great.
Debuting in 1996's Simcopter, what language do Sims speak?
Sasanu.
Sasanu.
Ubleto du papa.
Okay. Why am I instantly hard?
That is the dulcet tones of a Sim speaking. Yeah. Simlish is the name of the language.
Simlish, but he brought up though a very specific Sims game,
Simcopter,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that probably in Simcopter you're probably like, you know, talking to flight control.
It's like FAA approved
Sims. And yeah, they don't want to put like the actual codes or whatever in, so they start, you know, putting their Sim gibberish in the game, and then that would you know, carry over into the rest of the games in the franchise. Because yeah, the Sims, they have this this language called Simlish that all the Sims speak. Everything's written in Simlish. And they even went so far when they started getting celebrity endorsements for the Sims of having pop stars like Christina Aguilera re-record their hits. The Black Eyed Peas did one.
No,
are they re-recorded serious? Their hits in Simlish language this to put into thing. The game. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I am 100% sure.
Wow.
That the answer is Simlish.
Hey, listen, I am all for that. Yes.
That's correct.
All right.
Simlish it is.
Wadate.
Gatse boom boo.
Wadate forever.
I think Wadate is from Pootie Tang. Okay. They got some Simlish in there.
I you have some Pootie Simlish Tang's, in you?
Yeah,
Pootie. Do you want some?
Pootie Tang speaks Simlish.
Boy. Mr. Nick, Captain Nick.
Yes, the captain is in.
When you get people on the boat, do you go, "Want to go for a ride?"
If you ever get Billy Corgan on your boat, you have to do that.
Yeah,
hey, Billy, want to go for a ride?
And go, then when you go real fast, you have to go,
"Call me Mr. Corgan, please."
And then when you go real fast, you go, "Wee!" like the meme video where it's Billy Corgan on a roller coaster.
From 1979.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. No, I won't do that. Okay. Because there goes the tip.
Yeah. That'd probably be a good one, too.
All right. Let's see. Here we go.
He's a big wrestling fan, too. You know.
Is he really?
Yeah.
How do you know all of these wrestling
fans? Billy Corgan is the Vince McMahon of the National Wrestling Alliance, the NWA.
No.
Yes. He bought the company. And they talk about him on screen like he's like a character within the wrestling universe. Like, Billy Corgan tells me I gotta have this match. I'm gonna give it 110%.
Does he come out and he's just like, is like he dressed like a rat?
He's just a rat in a cage.
He doesn't make too many appearances, but he does represent the company. And I think we've mentioned on the podcast, he's done hilarious like local furniture advertisements in Chicago with the wrestlers. Like, don't hit him with that chair. That's a Thomas Dolby chair or whatever. whatever the name of the
furniture cover is. Murphy bed.
It hides the sounds of your farts.
Can you imagine being Billy Corgan?
William Patrick Corgan.
Have you seen he should dress up as one of the characters from Dark City because he looks very Dark City.
You're telling me he wasn't in Dark City?
He probably was. He very well could have been in the background for sure. Give him a long duster with a fucking furry neck. He'd fit right in.
The dark is a city.
All right. So this is going to be. All right. So this is
back to the long episodes. Hope you guys didn't get used to the short episodes. That 50 minute one out the goddamn window. We're back and we got something to say.
No, you better have plans made because this is going to be a long one. All right. So on June 14th.
Yeah. Make sure you have plans because this is going to be really long.
I can't even start this now. All right. On June 14th, This U.S. National Day is not considered to be a federal holiday and is only recognized by the state of Pennsylvania as a legal holiday. What day is it? If you missed, you guys can't see this, but Lee was turned one way opposite of Mark and literally just slowly turns around and gives him the side it had eye.
Heavy Weekend of Bernie's vibes. Yeah. Like his body just kind of
puppet.
June 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Not a national holiday.
Right.
Philadelphia.
A state holiday. Pennsylvania, you said.
No, it's a U.S. national day. But here, I'll read it again.
Yeah.
On June 14th, this U.S. national day is not considered to be a federal holiday and is only recognized by the state of Pennsylvania as a legal holiday. What day is it?
It's a national day, but it's only a national holiday in a state.
Mm-hmm.
What? Well,
June 14th. Okay, basically, Pennsylvania is the only one who observes it as a national holiday.
They'll give you the day off.
It's got to be something to do with the fucking Declaration of Independence or something like that. Right? It's got to do something with old shit. The cracking of the Liberty Bell.
I mean, that's closer, I think. The Declaration, wasn't signed on July 4th, but it was like initiated like the week before or something like that.
Some of the Continental Congress.
The formation of the first Continental Congress.
Did you like my tweet about Button Gwinnett?
I didn't see that one.
Or maybe it was a Facebook post. It was like the year 3126 and Gwinnett about Button Gwinnett. the Georgia, it was in Georgia, like the congressman from Georgia who signed the Declaration of Independence rides on the coattails. They hit Hamilton. It's like,
is that a real guy's name?
No, I just made it up.
Oh,
this is like,
no,
Hamilton is still so big that they just start releasing ones about other people that were in the Continental Congress.
I see, that's funny.
Button Gwinnett,
I'll have to go give that a react,
please.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about Pennsylvania here. I hate Pennsylvania.
Why?
I don't hate it. I don't like
state your cause.
Yeah.
I don't like Pennsylvania sport teams.
Okay, that is a very different state.
That's you're a New very England different sport state.
No, it has nothing to do with that. They threw fucking snowballs and booed Santa Claus. They're animals.
Well, there's way more to Pennsylvania than
well, you don't know what Santa did to them.
Santa did nothing to them. He gave them gifts.
Pennsylvania is a beautiful state.
It is a beautiful state.
It's got some nice stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is horrible. Just got some side eye for
the cracking of the Liberty Bell.
The what?
The cracking of the Liberty Bell.
I said cracking the Liberty Bell. That was one of my guesses.
I'm going back to it. That is so Pennsylvania.
It is very Pennsylvania.
And why? And it's related to the formation of the country, but I can see the U.S. government going, let's not make a federal holiday about it. I mean, we'll have like a national day of remembrance to acknowledge it, but give everybody the day off for the Liberty Bell.
By the way, I just want to say I can completely understand why Justin had such a problem with not giving more hints as he just watched this go on.
It's the thing, man.
When like, you have the hint, you want
to. You almost have to. It's one of the main reasons that after I ask a question, I try and just shut off.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be like stoked into giving.
No.
But I also I'm a sadist. I love watching people like struggle.
Oh, give it to me, quiz daddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Liberty Bell Day. Dumb.
I don't know, man. It just doesn't feel. I feel like it has to be bigger than the cracking of the Liberty Bell. That's kind of like what I was thinking at first, but it's like in the grand scheme of things, who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? So like
Pennsylvania, that's what I'm saying. Look, Pennsylvania gives a fuck, but the rest of the country.
The 4th of July is around the time that the Declaration of Independence was signed. Could June 13th like be the first meeting of the Continental Congress or
June 14th
or June 14th when
13th they were like, is when I was born.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Happy birthday. You know what you know what I'm saying? Year. Like it's a couple weeks before
the
signing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It it seems to like kind of match up that it was the when the Continental Congress first got together.
In the musical 1776, they're always going over to that calendar and like ripping the dates off.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe it does start at June 14th. All right. The first meeting of the Continental Congress.
All right, we're going to say first meeting of the Continental Congress. Just tell me it's not the Liberty Bell.
It's Flag Day.
Oh, okay.
Flag Day.
Flag Day.
It's
Flag
also, Day. Now here we go. The U.S. The
exactly that holiday that you would look at on your calendar
right.
on June 14th.
Exactly.
Ago. Flag Day? Yep. What?
Exactly.
And nobody ever mentions it.
But that's why I mentioned the Pennsylvania thing, because it's like, who celebrates that?
I see.
Obviously they do. Yeah, the United States Army also celebrates the U.S. Army birthday on this date as well, just so you know. And it was in 1916 that President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation that officially established June 14th as Flag Day.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm. Flag
and Day. It was actually on August 3rd of 1949, National Flag Day was established by an act of Congress.
All right.
Okay. Mm. Fun.
All right, Flag Day. I can deal with that.
Flag Day.
Stupid. I mean, Flag Day is stupid.
Don't be flagging.
That's a good question. All right.
That's it, right?
That's it.
Yep. So we got...
Bye.
Nope. Not entirely.
Wait.
That's it for round two.
Ah.
And we'll be back after this break with our final questions with Captain Nick.
The Captain is...
All right, we're back, and it's time for our final questions. Nick, if you would do us the pleasure of reading us a question.
Are we not reading a question?
We're not today. Wow. We have one Rate My Question right now, so if you want to send one in, you can do that. NoNonsenseTrivia@gmail.com. Call us at 1-929-356-6966. The one Rate My Question that we have in the queue
Nick
is Rick. From Captain Nick, so... You know, we're going to save that for next week. It's okay. We're glad to have five of your questions here.
Well, I didn't expect to be here, honestly, yeah. But I'm very happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Glad to have you.
Well, thanks. The smell in here
felt
is
like
nice.
We'd been casually talking about having you on for a while. Time to do it.
Enough talking, more doing.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Put your foot down. All right, here we go. This is going to be a food category. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Mm-mm.
Are you? Okay,
mm-hmm.
Here we go. This grilled item became popular in the U.S. during the Great Depression and is now enjoyed on a daily basis. With about 86% of all American adults enjoying at least one of these each year. I can say it again.
Please.
This grilled item became popular in the U.S. during the Great Depression and is now enjoyed on a daily basis, with about 86% of all American adults enjoying at least one of these each year.
Grilled item is a very interesting term, very interesting usage, is it not?
Yeah. I mean, it evokes the grill. You know, a flame under a piece of metal or a sort of heat source, I should say, not necessarily a flame.
Let me ask you right off the rip. Do you have an idea?
Well, the first thing that came into mind was hot dog. But frankly, I've always got hot dogs on the line. Frankly.
I see.
Also... The hot dog is kind of derivative of the bratwurst sausage. So I'm like wondering, like, is that something that was really developed or introduced? I know it's a little different, but saying like that it was introduced during the Great Depression. And that's the other component of this is the Great Depression. You know, it implies that there is, lack of resources. So whatever it's going to be, is going to be something that's like made from thrift, you know, out of a sense of thrift. Which, I mean, a hot dog falls in that category. It's like the spare parts, you know, from like the meat processing plant. And that would, you know, fall in line with like post-industrial revolution. You've got all these new meat processing plants set up. Where was the World's Fair during the Great Depression? Was it in Chicago?
Chicago
St.
was...
St. Louis?
Chicago was the early 1900s, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was... It might be Sandy. The Devil in the White City was when H.H. Holmes was doing his thing.
Mm-hmm. And that was like 1904?
Mm-hmm.
It was before the Great Depression. I just know there's like a lot of like meat processing plants in like Chicago. Hot dog. To answer your question, hot dog was the idea that I had.
My problem with drinking wine is I get the grape depression.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's made from grapes. He must make that joke.
The once a year is definitely like another hint, and that would be 4th of July, of course,
mm-hmm.
is that people are enjoying them at least once a year on 4th of July when you're grilling. I was trying to think of holidays and yeah. what we eat on, you know, holidays that happen once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, it's not ham. We don't eat grilled ham. It's not turkey, grilled turkey.
Hamburgers, kebabs. Hamburgers
a possibility. I thought you were going to say kibbas.
Kibbas.
Gabagool. That watching of Sopranos really did a number on you.
Gabagool, provolone, hot peppers. It's Tony's sandwich order. And he throws the sandwich on the ground. I was like, no!
Not the sandwich.
Come on, man. God, I had a fucking pub sub.
Oh, just to clarify, by the way, Mark knows this, but our listeners might not. Just finished The Sopranos for the first time after trying to watch the entire series for over a decade. Finally made it through the final season. Pretty good stuff. Yeah.
And I just finished the first season of What We Do in the Shadows and the movie, and it's very good so far. People said it was really good. Guess what? You were right, people.
Good job, people.
And I just finished the first season of Squid Games.
Oh, what do you think?
Oh, freaking amazing.
Thought it was good.
I thought it was good. I mean, it's par for the course, I think, for a lot of that kind of...
I think it got overhyped for me, unfortunately. A lot of overhyping going on, but...
I liked the character development. I thought it was good.
It was interesting. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. It was very, very good.
High expectations bring disappointment sometimes.
No expectations, no disappointments.
So I always set my bar real low.
Real low when it comes to everything.
Let's go with hot dogs.
You're gonna go with hot dogs.
Yeah.
You sure we're gonna say hot dogs. Hot dogs?
Yep.
You sure about that?
Yes.
Wrong.
Oh, no.
You're going to kick yourself for this one. It is the grilled cheese sammy.
yeah. All right.
Sorry.
Well, that's interesting. Where did you get the one time a year? Did you just make that up?
No. It. So it's based off of a, and I'll bring this up.
What if he said yes?
No.
Yeah, I just figured like.
None of the stuff I asked you about is true.
So I know how you love to word things. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it this way, with about 86% of all American adults enjoying at least one of these each year.
Oh, that doesn't change anything for me because I definitely eat more than one hot dog.
Based off of a study, and I'll bring this up. Hold on. Oh, boy. I had it here.
Just on Sunday, I went to the store specifically just to get some hot dogs for the week, just to have on hand in case I wanted one.
So right here, it's under Business Wire, and they did like a huge study of people who consumed grilled cheeses. And yeah, I know this is
real the
study.
Business Wire.
Yeah. So they say they actually I pulled it directly from this, and it's out of Boston. Mark's favorite.
The American gentleman.
The U.S. is, yeah, American gentleman. U.S. is strong with 86% of U.S. adults having eaten at least one grilled cheese sandwich in the past year. The study surveyed over 2,000 adults, 2,033 to be exact, was conducted online by Harris Poll on behalf of Cheese Boy in March of 2014. Within the 86% of Americans who ate grilled cheese sandwiches in the past year, 30% did so at least once a month. Data also showed that grilled cheese sandwiches are not just popular at home. More than one-third of Americans, 37%, reported that they purchased grilled cheese outside of the home in the past year, a figure which Cheese Boy expects to increase as grilled cheese related restaurants continue to build market share. within the restaurant.
Okay,
industry.
All right. Grilled cheese restaurants. I was like, who's buying grilled cheese out of the home? Like, where are you going to get this grilled cheese? Denny's? Like what?
Food trucks.
Bring me the child's menu.
All this stuff. So
bring me a menu designed for a child. I wish to have a grilled cheese.
Yeah. So
bring me a grilled cheese.
But and here's another thing too is the sandwich itself, the grilled cheese, actually holds the Guinness World Record for the most expensive commercially available sandwich at $214, which can be ordered at Serendipity 3 in New York.
That actually seems pretty affordable for being the world's most expensive of something. Like, it's kind of a low cost to pay to say, like, I ate the world's most expensive X, you know?
Well, they get it.
Yeah.
But $214? You're going to put that down for a grilled cheese?
I mean, no. Like, not daily, but for the experience of saying, like, I ate the world's most expensive grilled cheese, if I'm, like, living in Wyoming or some shit, I'm going to do it.
Because you're above the six billionaires in
Wyoming. Borrowing money from Mr. Buffett. You old cheesehead from Wyoming.
You old cheeser.
You old cheesehead.
Cheeser.
How about a little sports question for you, ladies
and gentlemen. I cannot wait. My God, my knees are shaking. I'm so excited.
What is the maximum number of clubs a golfer is allowed to carry according to the United States Golf Association?
Well, you know, Nick, you've recently taken up the sport of golf.
And that is actually the shirt I am wearing is a golf shirt that I bought.
Nick. You gotta be.
I just recently took it up, though. Let's not get too hasty.
Fair enough.
I want to say, and this is under. You said professional.
What did I say? Golf Association.
Golf Association.
Yeah, I think there's just really one set of rules that they all.
Well, I mean, it depends, though. I don't know during tournaments like PGA or something.
United States Golf Association, okay. USGA.
That's the big one.
Yeah, that's the big one. Wow.
What are the numbered clubs?
So first off, I want to say 13. Okay. I know there's more than that. Because you have your driver.
One and three, right?
You have your three iron. Those are for your long distance guys. Mm-hmm. And then you have all your irons, which are going to be your. I mean, they range anywhere from the numbers 9 all the way down to 3 iron. And then you have what is called brands use it as A, or I think it's like they put the letter A or P or something like that. And it's like I call it the attack club. It's for like the short distance chipping to get the ball.
But that's not
up in
part of your iron set.
No.
Okay.
That's so completely. I mean, it's technically an iron, but it's not even part of it. And then you got your putter.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at.
That's 10 right there.
Mother
now,
putter.
is your A, is that to get out of like sand traps and stuff like that?
That's your get out of jail free card. That's what that
to
is.
To get out of the bunker?
Yeah, it helps. Yeah, because it's
what sand wedge?
Just so
is that what it's called?
Just so you know, and any of the listeners that don't know much about golf.
What about a pitching wedge?
I'm just learning. So every wedge or every iron is all about the pitch of it, how it hits the ball, the face of it. So it's all about the angle that has been pitched. So you
go
from
the dangle.
The angle of the iron, old iron horse. So it starts at like, you know, obviously like a more closest to 90 degrees, but it ends up going all the way down to like, I don't know. I forget the degrees, but.
So is your pitching wedge part of that 9 to 3 set of
that's
irons?
Part of all your clubs.
But is it part of that 9 to 3 set of irons that you were describing earlier? Or is that just mid-range?
No, games? I think that's in the same range as when I was saying those labeled with the letter like A or something. Okay. I think that's like a pitching wedge.
Now, so we've counted 10, but you said 13 earlier.
So here's what I'm getting at is that you can have your driver, but there's, you know, I said you have what was it? What did I say? The
1 3
the 3 driver, what are they called, a Woody or something, or it's some, you can have I think 2 or 3 of those drivers plus your irons plus your maybe 2 wedges. I want to say 13 for some reason in my head like pops up.
Okay.
Sounds
good to me. I definitely don't know anything more than that.
I mean, 10 is, I think 10 is the set that I got. Because that's like a beginner set, and that's really everything you need,
right?
To start out,
but
that's
it's
why
not
I want
maxed out.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I don't know necessarily the technical terms of like if you do tournaments and stuff. I don't know what these pros can handle in their bags. I don't know what they're allowed to carry and whatnot. But I want to say 13.
Let's go with it. 13.
13.
Yep. Yes, please.
Is that your answer?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
It's incorrect.
Wow. That should be 10.
So close, though. 14.
Oh!
Is the correct answer. 14.
Just one extra. Hey,
that's all right, man. You got really close.
Oh, my God.
That's better than I probably would have said if I was by myself, like 9 or something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Our last question is a question about metal detectors.
Ooh. Yippee.
I'm talking about both the
tool,
as well as the person operating it. A famous metal detector. Which Scottish-born inventor and scientist made the first metal detector in 1881 when trying to extract a bullet from President Garfield's body after he was shot? Which Scottish-born inventor and scientist made the first metal detector in 1881 when trying to extract a bullet from President Garfield's body after he was shot?
This is a really interesting question. I've never heard of that, by the way.
This is very interesting, and I don't know at all.
But that is so cool. I never knew that was how metal detectors came about. Like, well, you gotta get this bullet out of Garfield. That ain't good.
Yeah, and then imagine, like, this Scottish guy. Oh, we got the... No, no, that's Irish. I'm not gonna do the voice. This is not the episode for voices. No.
But here's the thing,
you got the Scottish guy coming along. You know?
He didn't invent it. Like,
I cannot see it.
No, but he obviously Garfield didn't get shot, and he's like, "Oh, I got to invent something real quick."
Are you really having a hard time finding the bullet? It's in the hole.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing about the metal detector is like, there's all this sand. It's like this dude with a giant bloody hole. It's in there. You know what I mean? I'll detect it for you.
Wait, where do you think it's at?
It's in this hole.
If I had to take a guess, yeah.
If you just stick your finger in there really far, you'll feel the bullet. It's in there.
Ew.
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 Scottish. I have no clue. I mean, Scottish name? I don't know. Wait.
Scottish inventor?
Do you know anything about metal detectors, period?
No.
Great.
I know they go... or something.
Oh, no. It's been jammed.
What is it, fish?
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to see if you knew metal detectors. If there's a popular metal detector out there, maybe it's
with a name. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I mean, the best we can do is just try and think of a Scottish name.
McGinnis.
McAfee.
Mac Paddywhack. Old MacDonald.
Brogdon? The question? I don't even know why, but can I hear the question one more time?
Of course you can. Which Scottish-born inventor and scientist made the first metal detector in 1881 when trying to extract a bullet from President Garfield's body after he was shot?
1881?
And I'll tell you, as an extra hint, Mark.
Oh, I love it.
Please.
This
please,
is not
please.
The most famous thing that they were known for inventing.
Oh. Well, first off, this guy must have been super important. Already had an established career because he was allowed to be next to the president in this important occasion to save his life.
Mm-hmm.
So what else? What other Scottish inventors? What was happening? What was happening back at that time? Old Garfield days.
Nick is a time traveler. Hey, everybody, what's happening?
What's happening?
Hey, guys.
What's happening, guys?
Hey, who's that guy who stand next to the president?
You're famous, huh?
Have you guys heard of soap? Crazy. Cleans your body. Wild stuff. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Inventor. He's invented other stuff.
Obviously very popular. Invented other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean... it's not helping that I'm on this third beer.
Louis Pasteur is French.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially either. What year was Garfield?
Well, this is, he said 1881.
It was 1881.
So.
So. Late 1800s. Well, hold on. What else would be correlated with metal detectors? That kind of thing. Is it someone who invented like like radar or
could be
something along those
that's
lines.
The thing I don't even know who invented something else that would have been in the same Niels Bohr. See, the thing is, I'm trying to think of someone who's Scottish, but like I can't think
I feel like if you do that, your brain's going to want to try to think of a
but then total I think Scottish of like other people and I'm like not Scottish. You know, it's just like fucking Dutch, German, Dutch, American.
Niels Bohr. I don't know.
Bobby O'Flattery. I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
We're going to go with Bobby O'Flattery.
No, I'm sorry. The correct answer is Alexander Graham Bell.
Oh, what the?
Oh,
Alexander Graham Bell.
He was
Scottish?
He was Scottish born, then immigrated to the United States. Oh, involved in the telecommunication industry.
Captain Nick, we'll never have an immigrant on your boat. Don't worry.
We love them. They're building metal detectors saving presidents.
I didn't mean it in a mean way. I was just, it's a joke, guys.
Guys.
The U.S. is based off of immigrants. Come on now. We're all immigrants.
Graham Bell. The answer there.
Graham Bell.
I thought that was particularly fascinating when I came across that. That was really, I did not know that.
Well, from the moment you read it, I was like, that was really interesting.
I was riveted.
This came from, you know, we do topic requests at our trivia, and this came from somebody requesting metal detectors. I never thought to, like, you know, look that up before, and we do try to honor every category request. And I'm like, hot damn, this is some good metal detector trivia, actually.
It is tasty.
Yeah, that is tasty. Mm.
So I would highly recommend that to you, Quizmasters. See what your players want to have trivia about.
Do you have any little extra bit of, like, did he already have a metal detector, like, already made up?
I don't have the backstory but I will link to it in the show notes. Yeah, I'm sure there's a Smithsonian article.
3 hours.
Yeah, something like that. All right, Nick, Captain Nick.
Oh, Lee, Brett Schneider.
Thank you so much.
Mark Davis.
For joining us tonight.
Oh, it has been splendid, if not just to hang out with you two again.
Absolutely,
it has been wonderful just as friends, but, you know, the podcast
has been
cool
a good time, yes.
I already can't wait till next time.
Oh, next time. Sequel. Watch out.
Yep. Is there anything you want to plug before we leave? Once again, you have an email address. Captain Nick Williams.
I mean, if anybody wants to try to go out on the water, Captain Nick Williams @gmail.com, and you also have Captain Nick Williams Instagram.
Cool. And please give our best to Katie.
Yes, we'll do. She'll be happy to know that you guys are doing well, and little baby Brett Schneider has a better 401k plan than I do probably right now.
I don't know. We'll see. I still have to tell like my insurance company everything. The baby was born. I haven't done that. We're just waiting for those bills to start rolling in.
Oh boy.
Yep. We'll get our act together.
Can't wait.
But yeah, thanks again for coming on the show, bud.
Thank you.
All right. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Hey, did you just mention our Patreon?
I sure did.
Thanks to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including a big thanks to our quiz daddies, Issa, Adam Volk at Esme and Red Crest Fried Chicken, Tim with Pat's Garden Service, and our good friend Tommy. Our team captains, Matt, Mo, Rick G, Skyler, Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Jenny, Lydia, Sean, OG Aaron, David Holbrook, and Gil.
It's Gil.
There you go. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Captain Nick Williams.
Woohoo!
Give him a ring ring.
Oh, thanks. There it is.
Kate, Rachel, Moo, Tim Gomez, a.k.a. Mappy1984, Lucas, Carly, Sarah, Cooper, Justin, Hank, Luke, Manu, Matthew, Spencer, Lisa, Ryan, Adam, John, Lewis, Nabil, and Ricky F. And thanks to our Rumble Snailskins, Dylan, Sarah, Foxen5, Laurel, Aaron, H-Bomb, Lauren, MJ, Steven, Kenya, We Do Stuff, Allison, Paige, Kevin, Sarah, Douglas, Alex, Mike C.
Mike, commonly known as the Tarpon.
Mike J.
Mike, just don't call me Megalops.
And Mike K.
Mike, knights use halberds to axe, spike, or hook. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com is the email address, or you can call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast platform service.
Five stars only, please.
Until next time, No Nonsense listeners,
have a great week.